right, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our Bible study time together this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts in a mighty, mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. Lord, touch all of our hearts so that all of us can be better people for thee. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right, we've been studying out of the book of Numbers. And on our last lesson, we looked at chapter 11 and 12. Today, I want to look at chapter 13 and 14. Now, keep in mind, we are looking at the wilderness journey. The children of Israel began their journey out from Mount Sinai at chapter 10. Remember, God had liberated them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and God had brought them a mighty long way. He had brought them there to Mount Sinai. Now, what event, class, happened at Mount Sinai? It was at Mount Sinai that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. But I want you to see how the law don't necessarily change a person's behavior. We see how Moses even got weak in chapter 11, because the people started complaining, and then Moses even complained and told God, you know, these people are too burdensome for me. And so God had to give Moses some help there with the elders. But then in chapter 12, we saw how the Moses' sister, Miriam and Aaron, how they complained. And God struck her down with leprosy. But today, so those are two just incidents that we can see. That the law don't change behavior. But what did change when the law was given is how God responded to people who has his law. Up until that time, we hadn't seen God, judging the people. But once they got the law, then God began to judge those people, because once you know better, you're supposed to do better. But if you don't do better, even though you know better, then God is going to have to judge you. All right, so some disciplinary action will take place. Yeah. It's just like you can be driving your car down a street and you come to a four-way stop. Now, if there's no sign at the four-way stop, you probably still need to stop just, to be safe. But once they put that sign there, stop, then you gotta stop. But just because that sign there that says stop, that sign is not going to make you stop. No, the sign not going to make you stop. You got to have something on the inside of you, an obedient spirit that makes you obey that sign that says stop. But the sign itself don't make you stop. In the same way, God's law don't make you obey. You got to have something on inside of you that makes you obey. But what we see here as we start this journey, they start their journey on their way to the promised land, moving out from Mount Sinai. Then chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12. And now they come right to the border, ladies and gentlemen. They come right to the borders there of Canaan land. They're on their way to Canaan, and they're right there. They own the border now to Canaan land. And Moses now, He sends out the spies. God told Moses, you know, go ahead and send the spies. Because the scripture said in verse 3 of chapter 13, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and all those men were ahead of the children of Israel. So Moses now is going to pick out 12 men. As a matter of fact, it was all God told Moses to do this. Now Moses is not on his own because, well, let me just back up and read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 13. It said, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send out the men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, he went on and done what God told him to do. Now, when God sent the spies out, God was wanted them to verify the blessings. God had said he was going to bring them into a land that flows with milk and honey, and they was to go in that land and they was to verify God's blessing. But rather than verifying God's blessings, they came back terrified. But let me just give you a little simple outline here, because I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. You see, first of all, the scouts sent out. That kind of rhymes there, don't it? The scouts sent out. That's Roman number 1. The scouts sent out. Verses 1 through 25. The scouts done been sent out. Now, but notice the Bible tells us in verse 26 through 33, you have the scouts return with an evil report. So you have the scouts reports. You have the scout report. That's Roman number 2. The scouts report. Now, the scripture tells us that they had went over there for 40 days and they done spied out the land, and then they returned with the scouts report. Now, keep in mind, they was finding grapes and stuff that was big enough. I mean, they were finding giant-sized grapes. They had to have two men with poles to carry the fruit back. Now, isn't that something? Now, rather than them looking at God's blessings, all these giant-sized blessings, they looking at the giant-sized problem. They come back looking at the tall men, verses 26 through 33, says, all the 12, they agreed that the land is rich, but 10 of the scouts, 10 of the spies, are fearfully talks about the power of the giant inhabitants. And so, rather than focusing on God's blessings, they went there and looked at the problem. Man, rather than looking at how good God is and the land is just like God said it was, they came back with an evil report. Look at the text here. The Bible says, in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land where thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. See, that wasn't why God sent them in the land. God sent them into the land to verify the blessings. They went there and started looking at the problem. My, oh my, oh my. That's how it is when you walk by fear rather than walking by faith. But notice, we have two men here. Out of the 12, we have two that came back with a good report. Verses 30 and 31. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." See, Caleb is looking at this thing by faith rather than fear. But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report. God called that an evil report, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, of which come of the giants. And we were in," watch this, "our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Notice, they had an inferiority complex. As a matter of fact, I got a sermon. You need to go get it sometime and listen to it. It's called the Grasshopper Complex. The Grasshopper Complex. See, people who have the Grasshopper Complex, they see themselves smaller than their problem. The grasshopper complex sees the problem bigger than themselves. And the grasshopper complex leave God out of the solution. Did you hear what I said? The grasshopper complex leave God out the solution. When people got a, you know that people got a grasshopper complex when ever they say we can't do it, because immediately they are putting themselves up against the problem. They imagine themselves up against the problem, and they see them. They see themselves too little. But see, when you measure yourself up, or you measure God up against your problem, see, you got to always keep God right in the center. Once you put you in the center, yeah, you're going to be smaller. But if you put God in there, then now God is bigger than your problem. Yeah. God already knew that them people was over in the land. He knew the giants was in the land. But that wasn't why God sent them in the land. God sent them in the land to verify the blessings. Go check it out and you can see. They should have came back like Caleb and said, "Hey y'all, the blessings are over there, and we are well able, I mean we more than able to overcome." See, the Bible says that we as Christians, we are more than conquerors. You just are not a conqueror. You more than a conqueror. See, you gonna have to start saying what God say about you rather than even what you say about you or what man done say about you. Well, we got to believe the report that God give. And God says, "Greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world." But so we see in chapter 13, we have the turning point. We have people believe in the majority report. See, listen, let me throw something in here. The second mistake they made was not only did they come back in a thing of fear, but they started voting on the will of God. Listen, you cannot vote on the will of God. Listen, you didn't hear what I said, did you? You cannot vote on the will of God. You know, a lot of times people ask me at my church, you know, why y'all don't have, you know, church meeting? Why you don't call church meeting and vote on this and vote on that and vote on that? Listen. I operate for the most part just like Moses. Moses is going to eventually learn. Yeah, yeah. You don't vote on the will of God. When God tell you something to do, you just do it. You don't have to go to the people and vote on it. That's what they did. They basically voted on the will of God. Yeah, yeah, the majority report. So you got 10 people going up against 2 people. And so they carried the votes. They had the vote. And so when you get to chapter 14, you're going to find the whole congregation decided that they would just go ahead and go with the 10 rather than going with the 2. Yeah, that's why I don't like to have votes in the church. That's why I don't call meetings to vote, because every time, as a matter of fact, class, go through your Bible and see every time that people voted on the will of God, they went the wrong way. The vote went the wrong way. Yeah, so don't be going around voting on the will of God. Once you know what the will of God is, just do it. I mean, be like Nike. Just do it. All right. Let's go and look at chapter 14. Let's go and look at chapter 14. The Bible tells us now that we come to chapter 14. In chapter 14, I want you to see several things. Let me just outline the chapter for you in chapter 14. First of all, you see rebelliousness. Rebelliousness. God's people rebelled against God. God's people rebel against God. All right, and then you'll see that in the first 10 verses. And then you'll see Moses intercede for God's people. Moses intercedes for God's people. That's verses 11 through 25. And then verses 26 through 38, you see God issues a death sentence on his people. God issues a death sentence on his people, verses 26 through 38. And then verses 39 through 45, you see another case of disobedience. Another case of disobedience. All right. So let's look first of all at the rebelliousness of God's people in verses 1 through 10. Look at the text. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Folks are bellyaching. Listen to them. Listen to them. They're crying all night long. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God we had died in this wilderness." Now, ain't that something? They are wishing that they would have been back there in Egypt. Would to God that we done died. Now, listen how they keep using this word died. "I wish we would have died in Egypt." And then look again. It says, "I wish we would have died in the wilderness." Listen, you need to be careful about what you say, how you just use words. Yeah, you can use your words can bless you, or your words can curse you. Look, the Bible says, "And wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Now notice, they trying to go back to where God brought them from. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Class, notice now how Moses is going to intercede for the people. I want you to do something, class. I want you to go through this book of Numbers. Matter of fact, get your concordance when you get some time and look up fell on their faces. Look up that phrase, fell on their faces. You may want to look up the word faces, fell on their faces. And you'll see that every time, almost every time, the children of Israel offended God by murmuring or grumbling, or they sinned, or they rebelled, or got outside the will of God, Moses fell on his face. Moses had to pray for God's people. He had to pray for this evil congregation. You're going to find out that God's people are often not like, you know, little, they're not innocent like Little Red Riding Hood. No, they're not like Little Bo Peep, you know, just lost some sheep. No, God's people a lot of time are some evil people. They some evil people. You see how rough Moses is having? I mean, these ain't worldly people. These are God's people. These are people that done been saved by the blood. They done been came through the Red Sea, and now they're on their way to the promised land. But look how much trouble Moses is. They getting ready to get up a leader. They finna choose a new leader to go back. Now, isn't that something? They finna choose a new leader to go back. But Moses fell on his face. Moses and Aaron, they fell on their face before the congregation. And notice the Bible said, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Notice, so we got Caleb and Joshua, the two spies. They're trying to turn the people around, trying to get them to come on and let's keep going. Let's go on over into the promised land. I mean, we right here. We so close. We almost there, y'all. And God is going to strip them of their defense. Those giants, these giants ain't big as our God. That's what they was basically saying. See, you got to always measure your problem by your God, and you will see your God is much, much bigger than your problem. But notice what the Bible says, verse 10. But all the congregation begged, stoned them with stone, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere that they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And so God is saying, listen, Moses, just move out the way. Step aside, Moses. Let me just go ahead and mop them off. Let me get rid of these folks, and I'll just take you, and I'll raise up a nation just out of your family. I'll raise up some new people, starting with you, Moses. Now, Moses was a good man. Yeah, because most people would have said, well, God, by time, go ahead and just bump them on off, because I'm tired of these people. I mean, they hard-headed, they stiff-necked. I mean, they just won't obey. But notice what Moses did. He didn't say that. Yeah. God is letting Moses know that, Moses, I could just take you, and we could start over just with you. But notice what Moses says. Verse 13, and Moses said, so we see the intercession of Moses. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou brought it up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. For they have heard that the Lord art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and the cloud stands over them, that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nation which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he had slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And so Moses is praying, don't kill them, God. Forgive the people. Now, Moses' prayer. Notice, this is a beautiful prayer. Go study this prayer from verses 13 through 19. Study Moses' prayer, because it's one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. But you'll see in Moses' prayer, Moses didn't have nothing good to say about the people. He didn't ask God to save the people because they've been so good, holy, or righteous. He asked God to save the people for God's name's sake, for God's reputation was on the line. He said, God, if you kill these people, you know what? You know what the folks in Egypt going to say? You know what the world going to say about you? They going to say you bought them out, but you couldn't get them in. You bought them out of Egypt, but you couldn't bring them into the promised land. Yeah. And so the world is going to more or less say that you a weak God. And you don't want the world going out with that kind of testimony, saying that you could bring people out of some, but you can't get them in some. Yeah, because you promised that you was not only going to bring them out, you promised that you was going to get them in to the promised land. And so, God, you can't go back on your promise. And then Moses' prayer was based on the character of God. He says, God, you're a long-suffering God. I mean, you can take a whole lot. You long-suffering. You great mercy. You're a forgiving God. You forgive people of their iniquities and their transgression. And God, you've been forgiving people in the past. You can forgive people right now. And so forgive these people. And so based on the character of God and God's reputation, God decided to listen to Moses' prayer. And God went on and forgave the people. Look at what it says in verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy words. And so the Lord, he indeed pardoned the people. Now, when you study prayer, verses 11 through 25, and you continue to keep reading this. Now, God, he announced his decision. Israel will be spared, but not one of the rebels, not one of those rebels who treated God with contempt will live to enter the promised land. Yeah. And God is going to cite 10 incidents of rebelliousness in verse number 22. He said, because all those men which have seen my glory, verse 22, and my miracle which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now, these, notice, he says 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Now, what was those 10 times? You can go back to Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 through 12. Exodus 15, verses 23 to 24. Exodus 16, verse number 2. Exodus 16, verse number 20. Exodus 16, verse number 27. Exodus 17, 1 through 3. And then Exodus 32, verses 1 through 10. And then Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 4. And then Numbers 14, verse number 2. And so God cites 10 times that these people done rebel against him. And then God gives this death sentence. Look at the death sentence. The scripture says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmurs against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmurs against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do it. Your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to the whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save except Caleb and the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. And he says, look down here. And your children, verse 33, shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredom until your carcass be wasted in the wilderness. And so after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. God says, because you fail to believe my promise, then you're going to get what you said. You said that you wish you would die either in Egypt, or you wish that you would, that God would kill you there in the wilderness. And so God says, I'm going to oblige you. That's why you got to be careful what you say. They said that they wished that they would have died in Egypt over there in verse number 2 of chapter 14. Or would God, we had died in this wilderness. And so God is going to turn that wilderness into a giant cemetery. So for the next 38 years, because they done been out there 2 years, for the next 38 years, they going to end up out there in the wilderness. And so you see the death sentence there. And then so some of the people that said, hey, well let's go ahead and go on into Egypt, once they found out that God was gonna kill them out there in the wilderness, they said, we ready to go. And look here in verse number 40, it said, and they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord had promised, for we have sinned. And Moses says, wherefore now do you transgress the commandments of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presume to go. Notice, underline that word, verse 44. They presume to go up unto the hill top. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and Moses departed not out of the camp. Moses didn't go with them. They decided they wanted to go ahead and go on into the promised land. Look what happened. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in the hill, and smote them and discomfort them even unto Hamath. Now, notice the people, they didn't move when God told them to move. And then when they tried to move without God, then they ended up getting whipped. Listen. Oh, that's a great lesson for us. You got to move with the move of God. When God tell you to move, you got to step out in faith and move. But when God tells you not to move, then you got to have the faith to stay right there where you at and don't move. Oh, we done learned some great lessons here. You know, some of the lessons that we have learned is, and you got to ask yourself, let me just give you some application questions. What relationship do you see between faith and obedience? What relationship do you see between faith and obedience? Another question, how would Israel have responded if they truly did trust God and counted on his presence? How would Israel have responded if they truly trust God and counted on his presence? And the third application question is, can you see the parallels or the contrast with this event in your personal journey of faith? Again, can you see the parallel or contrast with this event in your personal journey of faith? It's going to take faith to get you out, but it's going to take faith in God to also get you in. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you've given to us today. Take this message and use it to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.